Welcome to Maranatha Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Femi Fenoyo.
We have joined a series that I've been doing on Maranatha YouTube teaching channel titled The Bible. We have joined the series at the beginning of another season, which we have titled The Story of the Whole Bible.
Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 up to the first part of verse 5. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. We've looked at quite a number of questions, but there is one more line of inquiry we need to pursue before we move on. It is clear from the structure of the narrative that Cain knew that his sacrifice was rejected. Cain knew. And by extension, Abel knew that Cain's sacrifice was rejected. And by extension, Cain knew that Abel's sacrifice was accepted. And by extension, Abel knew that his sacrifice was accepted. So how did they know? When we look at the primary record of the event as we have read it now in that Genesis chapter 4, it did not seem to tell us how they knew. So we'll take a closer look at those couple of verses we have read in chapter 4, and then we will allow other scripture to help us answer this question. And what we are looking at as we appeal to other parts of the scripture is what we always do, is to ask ourselves, are there biblical patterns? Are there biblical pointers that can help us understand this portion of the scripture? Remember our study long time ago, one of the ways we study the scripture is to allow the scripture to interpret scripture. So first of all, let's just take a closer look at Genesis chapter 4 again. And let us see whether we can find a window into answering this question. And then we will appeal to other portion of the scriptures. So if you look at verse 4 and verse 5, it says, and Abel, he brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. Now, this is the sentence I want you to see. Say, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Can you see that word respect? The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, the Lord had not respect. Now, it is that word I want you to pay attention to. The word had respect to. In Hebrew, that phrase actually signifies to look at anything with a keen, earnest glance. I'll say that again. To look at anything with a keen, earnest glance. It's not just to look. And the question we'll ask ourselves is this: what happens when God looks at anything with a keen, earnest glance? What happened? What happened to you when God looks at you keenly, honestly? I mean, ask Moses. Remember Moses? Moses saw only the backside of God and his eyes started shining. There are some instruments that when you concentrate light into a place, it bursts into fire. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire, that God dwells in the light that no man can approach. So that's what that phrase means, to look at anything with a keen, earnest glance. Now, this phrase, had respect to, has therefore also been translated as to kindle into fire. Is a concentrated gaze, is a concentrated focus, is a concentrated earnest glance that kindle into a fire. Could the divine approval of Abel's offering have been evidence because it was consumed by fire? Just looking at this concept, just looking at the word that was used with respect to the activity and the response of God to the sacrifice of Abel, it was a keen, earnest glance. And we realize that that phrase has also been translated, or by implication, been expressed as to kindle into fire. So could the divine approval of Abel's offering have been evident because it was consumed by fire? And are there patterns to this kind of approval in the Bible. So we cannot base our conclusion just on this, but it gives us a window to begin to say, could this actually have been what happened? But what we are going to do now is to appeal to other parts of the scripture to see whether we can find a pattern of this kind of approval in the Bible. We're just going to read a couple of scripture, and then we're going to see whether they will throw light on what we are beginning to see here. Let us start with the story of Moses and Aaron in Leviticus. Okay, we're going back to Leviticus. Remember, Leviticus is from the Greek translation of the Old Testament that means relating to the Levite. So the word Leviticus actually came from Greek word. You remember the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but that Hebrew Old Testament was translated into Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament Hebrew Bible. And that word Leviticus comes from the Greek translation, and it actually means relating to the Levite. But when you look at the Hebrew title for Leviticus takes its name from the first few words in the Hebrew text of that book. And it essentially means, and he, the Lord, called. He, the Lord, called. Now, the background story to where we are going to read is this. No, I just give us a foundation about Leviticus here. So the background story to what we are going to read, because we are going to read Leviticus chapter 9, just one verse or two verses, there are about two or three verses. Now the background story is this. When you read the book of Leviticus, we see instructions about content, purpose, and manner of offerings. And we've mentioned this. Now, in the book of Leviticus, it introduces us to the five major offerings that God commanded the children of Israel to bring, their content, their element, their purpose, their timing, and all those things. So that is what was going on in those first few chapters of the book of Leviticus, instructions about content, purpose, and manner of offering. And also, as we move close to this Leviticus chapter 9, the verses that we are going to read, there were also instructions about the ordination and the work of Aaron and his son. Obviously, Aaron was the first high priest. So God gave Moses clear instruction about the ordination and about the work of Aaron and his son. And in the middle of those instructions, that is where we are going to read what we are going to read now. So we are going to read Leviticus chapter 9, and we are going to read verse 7, and then we will jump down to verse 24. Verse 7, remember the background that led to this. It was in this process of giving instruction about Aaron has his son, and Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. And then the story progresses, and obviously Aaron obeyed and did exactly what Moses instructed him by the word of the Lord. And verse 24 then tells us what happened. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their face. Remember, we are looking at pattern. We are looking at other scripture to throw light to our question. And the Bible tells us here that when Aaron and his sons, when they finished doing the sacrifice, the Bible says fire came, and there came a fire out from before the Lord, and it consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. Remember what we said about Abel and his offering. And the Bible says that all the people saw it. You remember that? We are asking ourselves the question, how did Abel and Cain know that one sacrifice was accepted and the other one was rejected? The Bible says here that all the children of Israel, they saw it and they shouted and they fell on their faces. Now, let's look at another story. We are going to look now at the story of Gideon and Elijah. Again, looking at pattern. First, Gideon. Now, obviously, Gideon was one of the judges of the children of Israel after the death of Joshua. Now, we are going to read Judges chapter 6, talking about the story of Gideon. But this is the background leading us to the story. Obviously, Joshua died. All that generation died. Judges chapter 2, verses 11 to 16 tells us the background that leads us to the story of Gideon. Gideon. Verse 11 says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 13 says that, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Verse 14 says, and the Lord delivered them unto the hands of the spoilers and spoiled them, and they were greatly distressed. Verse 16 says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And that was a cycle you will see happen again and again and again in the book of Judges. And Gideon, like I said, was one of the judges. And Gideon came on the scene during the oppression. The spoiler at that point that spoiled them were the Midianites. Okay, but we don't want to go into those stories. We want to look at the story of Gideon because we encounter a sacrifice again. Now, we are going to pick up this story where Gideon had been trying to hide food away because of this Midianite, but he had an encounter with a personality that the Bible called the angel of the Lord. And that encounter ended in Gideon offering a sacrifice. And that is what is going to command our attention. There are a couple of things we could say here, particularly about that personality called the angel of the Lord. But we'll leave that alone so that I don't go on a tangent. So it came to a point and Gideon requested that he offer, a sacrifice. And the angel of the Lord allowed him to. So he went in, prepared the sacrifice, and this is what happened. He put the sacrifice in the place where he was told to put it. Judges chapter 6 verse 21. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cake, which are the sacrifice that Gideon brought. Now this is the point. And there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake, then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Again, we are seeing a situation here. And obviously, if you then read the story onward, Gideon saw what happened. And Gideon said, oh my, I've seen the angel of the Lord and my life was spared. He saw exactly what happened. Again, we see a pattern here that the way that God received this sacrifice was causing fire to consume the sacrifice. This time around, the fire rose from the rock. Praise the Lord. The fire rose from the rock. Again, we are looking at the pattern. The fire that came to consume the sacrifice of Gideon. And we see the same story, the same, pattern in the popular story of Elijah and his encounter with the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of groves, which ate at Jezebel's table. You know the background? Okay, again, the background was like in the days of Gideon. Israel, that was the 10 northern tribe of Israel. They were being ruled by the evil couple, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And that family, that evil family, the Bible says they led the nation away from God. They led the nation away into idolatry, such that we have this 850 prophets that were eating at the table of the queen of the land, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves. That was the background. So long story short, Elijah came in, disrupted the show. Elijah confronted the prophet of Baal and the prophet of the grove and challenged them to a contest. And the conflict was finally settled with sacrifice. Elijah confronted them, asked them that, okay, there's a contest. Let the God who answered by fire be the God. You choose your sacrifice, offer it to your God. I will do the rest. Long story short, Elijah, the prophet of Baal and the prophet of the grove, they failed. Elijah passed, okay? But I want you to see what happened. So the first thing that Elijah did was to rearrange the altar, put the sacrifice on the altar. Obviously, in this particular case, it asked them to dig a trench and pour water. And Elijah prayed. And it is what happened after that I want us to see. Okay, so the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, and then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. You will see over and over again the pattern. The fire fall. In the case of Gideon, the fire came from the rock. But in all the cases, the fire consumed the sacrifice. In this particular case, the people saw it again, and the people bowed down and said, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God." So they were able to see that God has received this sacrifice, that God has showed himself to be God, and God has also verified and vilified, verify his prophet by causing the fire to fall and consume the sacrifice. And that is the way the people knew. The fire fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. Finally, I mean, we could go on and on and on, but finally, let's look at one each from David and Solomon. Okay, in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David commanded a censor of all Israelites, and this command was repulsive. This command was evil in the sight of the Lord. Because of this one ill-advised action, David brought guilt and punishment upon the whole nation. 70,000 men of Israel died in the plague. But ultimately, the calamity and destruction was finally halted by sacrifices offered on an altar built on the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite. Again, we are not going into the story of what happened. My concern here, my focus here is the sacrifice. So David ran, bought the land from Arunah, the Jebusite, and the Bible tells us something that happened. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offering and peace offering and call upon the Lord. What happened? And God answered him from heaven, how? By fire upon the altar of burnt offering. God answered him by fire. So the fire came and consumed the offering upon the altar. Again, we can see this pattern. We'll look lastly at Solomon's sacrifice. And this one is recorded for us in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7. Now, the background to that story was that Solomon has finished building the temple, and he brought into the temple the furniture of the temple. Obviously, that included the Ark of the Covenant of God. And then Solomon offers sacrifices. In conclusion of this process of dedication, Solomon concluded the dedication of the temple with a lot of sacrifices. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 6, that he sacrificed sheep and oxen which could not be told or numbered for multitude. So Solomon offered so many sheep and so many oxen that you cannot even count them. And after then, he prayed. Solomon prayed and something happened. And that is what I want you to see. Remember the background, dedication of the temple, sacrifices, and Solomon was standing in front of the sacrifices and he was praying. And this happened. This is what happened. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 9. And now when Solomon had made an end of praying, what happened? The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. So Solomon prayed, just like all the other things that we've seen. Solomon prayed, and the Bible says that the fire came down. The fire consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And there was glory. We could talk about the glory that came with God receiving the sacrifice. So remember what we are doing. We are seeking to know how the brothers knew that Cain and his offering were rejected and Abel and his offering were accepted. And what we've seen in this selected biblical event of sacrifice that we've read through what we've been doing is that God on many occasions accepted people's sacrifice by consuming it with fire. In the passages, we saw that the way God conveyed his approval of the sacrifice over to him was to send fire to consume the offering. It is therefore highly suggestive that the sign of approval or disapproval in the case of Cain and Abel, in the case that we are considering, that the sign of approval is highly suggestive will have been fire from heaven. The fire must have consumed the offering of Abel, but left that of Cain untouched, leaving Cain without doubt that he and his offering has been rejected and that his brother Abel and his offering has been accepted. You know, you may be wondering, why do we have to spend so much time conjecturing how Cain knew that his sacrifice was rejected, how Abel knew that his sacrifice was, you know, accepted. And so what if it was by fire or not? What does it matter? Of what practical use is all this to us today? Going back to what I said a few moments ago, is because this concept of sacrifice, this connection between sacrifice and fire is important. And it is important because, number one, it reveals something fundamental to us about who God is, and therefore what our attitude and our approach to Him should be. And this is the reason why we have taken time. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12 as we conclude the teaching today, because it summarizes for us what we need to know. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 18 to 21, and then we jump down. For you are not come unto the mountain that might be touched, and that burnt with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of trumpet, and the voice of word, which was they that had entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as be touched mountain, it shall be stone and thrust through with the death. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, are exceedingly quick, fear and quick. And you may say, well, that is just the Old Testament, isn't it? Let's continue. Hebrews chapter 12, let's read verses 28 and 29. This is a commentary on the New Testament now. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Our God, even in the New Testament, God is still a consuming fire. Listen to me. The God of the New Testament is not different from the God of the Old Testament. Okay. Paul is writing, because I believe God, Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. He said, our God is a consuming fire. The Bible, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, paint the picture of God as fire. So, if we sin and rebel against Him, if we constitute ourselves as enemy of God, if we stand on the wrong side of God, and if we refuse to repent and change our way, then we will experience God as a consuming fire. But if you and I repent and return back to God by way of sacrifice, what happened? Then God's fire of judgment and wrath will fall upon the sacrifice, and then our account will move from debit to credit, following God's deposit of His own righteousness into our account. Obviously, these sacrifices are only shadows. What we have been reading, they are only shadows. The ultimate sacrifice is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that sacrifice we see on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the reason. This is the reason why we have spent so much time looking at this sacrifice of Cain and Abel. So the next question then is, how did Cain respond and react to God's divine feedback on him and his sacrifice? Did Cain repent? Did Cain change his way? Did Cain do what is right? We will pick it up from here, the next episode, by the grace of God. And I want to talk to you and me. Listen to me, if you are not yet saved, if you've not yet come by the way, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. This is the way. There is no other way. There is no other name. There is no salvation in anybody or anywhere else but in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I can come to Him today and ask Him to be our God, to be our Lord, to save us. And He will, because He has already provided everything to save us. Just need to ask Him and He will come save you. Take the heart of stone, the dead heart out of you, and give you the heart of flesh, the living spirit, and He will fill you with his Holy Spirit, walk with you as your Father, as your God, on this path of eternity. And when this is all over, you and I will spend eternity with Him in the new heaven and the new earth. Do it right now. We sincerely invite you to check out our teachings on YouTube, Maranatha Teaching Channel. They will bless you. Thank you.